A weapon. A thing made to deceive and kill by the long dead. The whole subspecies, that is, the Changers, is the remnant of some ancient war, a war so long gone that no one willing to tell recalls who fought it, or when, or over what. Nobody even knows whether the Changers were on the winning side or not. But in any event, you were fashioned, Hawser. You did not evolve in a way you could call natural. You are the product of careful thought and genetic tinkering and military planning and deliberate design. And war. Your very creation depended on it. You are the child of it. You are its legacy. Changer, change yourself. But you cannot. You will not. All you can do is try not to think about it. And yet the knowledge is there, the information implanted, somewhere deep inside. You could, you should, live easy with it, all the same. But I don't think you do. And I'm sorry for you. Because I think I know now who you really hate. She came out of it quickly, as the supply of chemicals from glands in her neck and brainstem shut off. The compounds already in the girl's brain cells began to break down, releasing her. Reality blew around her, the breeze freshening cold against her skin. She wiped the sweat from her brow. There were tears in her eyes, and she wiped them too, sniffing and rubbing her reddened nose. Another failure, she thought bitterly. But it was a young, unstable sort of bitterness, a kind of fake, something she assumed for a while, like a child trying on adult clothes. She luxuriated in the feeling of being old and disillusioned for a moment, then let it drop. The mood did not fit. Time enough for the genuine version when she was old, she thought, wryly, smiling at the line of hills on the far side of the plain. But it was a failure, nevertheless. She had hoped for something to occur to her, something about the Adirons, or Balveda, or the Changer, or the war, or anything. Instead, old territory mostly, accepted facts, the already known. A certain self-disgust at being human, an understanding of the Adirons' proud disdain for her kind, a reaffirmation that at least one thing was its own meaning, and a probably wrong, probably over-sympathetic glimpse into the character of a man she had never met and never would meet, who was separated from her by most of a galaxy and all of a morality. Little enough to bring down from the frozen peak. She sighed. The wind blew, and she watched clouds mass far along the high range. She would have to start down now if she was going to beat the storm. It would seem like cheating not to get back down under her own steam, and Jace would scold her if conditions got so bad she had to send for a flyer to pick her up. Fal and Gistra stood. The pain in her leg came back, signals from her weak point. She paused for a moment, reassessing the state of that mending bone, and then, deciding it would hold up, started the descent toward the unfrozen world below. Chapter 11. The Command System. Stations. He was being shaken gently.
Wake up now. Come on. Wake up. Come on now. Up you get.
He recognized the voice as Zoralundra's. The old Adiran was trying to get him to wake up. He pretended to stay asleep.
I know you're awake. Come on now, it's time to get up.
He opened his eyes with a false weariness. Zoralundra was there, in a bright blue circular room, with lots of large couches set into alcoves in the blue material. Above hung a white sky with black clouds. It was very bright in the room. He shielded his eyes and looked